Anyway, welcome to Christ Church, everybody, and happy Mother's Day. So glad that you're with us. You know, if you're wondering what this tie is all about, those of you who know me, you don't often see this. But I always wear a tie, and I have for the last 26 years, on Mother's Day, in honor of my mom. And since she is worshiping with us through our online campus today, just give me a moment of personal privilege to say, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. Okay, so let's take out our Christ Church notes. They're there in your worship program. Go ahead and find it. You'll find a couple of blanks I'm going to ask you to fill in today. So you'll want a pen or a pencil from the seat back in front of you. You'll also want that not only for the blanks, but maybe to jot down some things that you hear and that you'll want to remember in your study for later. You'll want to jot those kinds of things down. You know, we're in a series that we're calling A Whole New World. A whole new world, and it's a look at how where faith meets Disney, how faith meets Disney. And today we're going to be talking about Frozen. So let's get on with it. All right, we're going to start with our foundational scripture to get clearly rooted and grounded in God's word this morning. It's coming from an Old Testament book by the name of Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet, and one day, God told Ezekiel to stand before the people of Israel and say this. Say, I will give you a what? A new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your old stony heart, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. So God says, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. I'm going to take out the old one, the old frozen one, the old stony, stubborn one, and give you a tender, responsive heart. Now, back in the dark ages, when I was a kid, at recess, we used to play, at least two or three times a week, we used to play freeze tag. Anybody in here ever played freeze tag? Okay, yeah. I don't even know if they play that anymore, but the game began by choosing somebody to be it. Now, isn't that a descriptive word? Yeah, choosing somebody to be it. And its job was to run as fast as he or she could and tag other people there on the playground and essentially freeze them in place, immobilize them. And the only way they could get unfrozen is if somebody was willing to perhaps sacrifice himself or herself by untagging or tagging somebody who's been frozen to unfreeze them. And you know, I just got to tell you this. There is a lot of good theology in a game of freeze tag. There's a bunch of good theology in a game. You know, I have to say this too. You know, one of the hazards of being a pastor is you see theology in just about everything. You know, a bunch of it is lousy theology, let me tell you. But there's a bunch of theology, whether it's good or bad, in virtually everything. You know, and I guess especially in the movies. You know, I see theology in movies all the time. And you know why that is? You know, I mean, other than being a pastor, that's this. Because movies tell stories. And stories teach lessons in a very powerful way. In fact, listen to this. Jesus himself told stories all the time, didn't he? What did he call his stories? Parables. That's right. They're parables. And parables are the stories that Jesus taught to teach some very, very powerful lessons. Now, how many of you have seen the movie Frozen? Yeah, bunch of you. I guess so. You know, it's the number one highest grossing animated movie of all time, believe it or not. And it is the 11th highest grossing movie, period, across all categories. So I mean, this is quite a movie. It won 2 Academy Awards for its theme song. What's the theme song? Let It Go. That's right. You know, that song has become so popular, such a smash hit around the world, that it's been dubbed and translated and sung in more than 40 different languages all across the globe. So, I've got a treat for you. Here's Let It Go in 25 languages in 3.5 minutes. Do it.
Snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. Un royaume de solitude m'a placé là pour toujours. Der Wind erheult so wie der Sturm ganz tief in mir. Het wird night to feel, hoop mein best old day.
How about that? You know, what is it that made that movie so popular? What was it that captured the hearts of people all across the globe we live on? You know, I was thinking about that this week, and I've come up with the answer. And at least I believe this answer is true. It's really pretty simple. It's the story. It's the message of the movie. In fact, we who are Christians, if our eyes are open when we're watching this movie, you know, we really begin to see how the message of the movie Frozen goes directly to the heart of the gospel. It's right in the heart of the life and teaching of Jesus. I mean, that's how powerful this story really is. And here's how it begins. Frozen begins by introducing us to two characters. First one here is Anna, and Anna is the younger sister of Elsa. And Elsa is the princess of the kingdom of Arendelle. And she has, some say a curse, others say a gift, but she has an incredible thing that where she's able to produce ice and frost and snow at will. But one night, Anna says to, wakes up Elsa and says, "Elsa, I want to go build a snowman." And she knows her sister can produce the ice and the snow and all. And eventually, Anna talks Elsa into it. They go out. They are playing in the snow. They build a snowman, and something absolutely horrible happens. Elsa injures Anna. And what are they going to do? Her parents come to the rescue, and they seek to get her cured, to get Anna cured, by taking her to see a troll. And this troll, although he does help her in some way, he actually hurts her in another, because in the way he cured her, he told Elsa that she was going to have to conceal her feelings and not feel them, to conceal them and not to feel them. And what he did was inadvertently, he ended up having to separate the sisters. See, by concealing the feelings and not feeling them, the parents took Elsa and separated her from her sister Anna. And the troll removed any memory, any bad memory that Anna might have of the event. So now, get this. So now the sisters are separated. Elsa's isolated from Anna, and Anna has no idea why. All she knows now, at least all she believes now, is that her sister, the one that they had played together and loved, now hates her. Her sister hates her. That's what she thinks. And it brings me to the first lesson I want you to know right now. And I want you to write this in. And that is this, that true love sacrifices. Would you write that down, please? True love sacrifices. True love sacrifices. Let's say it together. Ready? True love sacrifices. It's the first lesson from this film that I want you to know. First lesson, it's a gospel lesson, in fact, but I want you to know it. It's illustrated from the film. You see, in the movie Frozen, the characters all assume that the one true act of true love is a what? A kiss. Of course, you should know that. This is Disney, right? It's Disney. That the act of true love is a kiss. You know, so what happens here is, that Anna rushes around trying to find someone to give her true love's kiss and unfreeze her frozen heart. You see, when Anna later on in life reached out to Elsa, Elsa lashed out of her and cursed her with a frozen heart. And the only way that Anna's heart could be unfrozen is with an act of true love. And everyone assumes in the movie that the act of true love that will save Anna is a kiss. But that's wrong. That's wrong. That's not the way it turns out at all. Fortunately for us, the wise and funny snowman, what's his name? Olaf. He knows what true love is.
Anna!
Get away from there!
Whoa! So This is heat. I love it. Ooh, but don't touch it. So, where's Hans? What happened to your kiss?
I was wrong about him. It wasn't true love.
But we ran all the way here.
Please, Olaf, you can't stay here. You'll melt.
I am not leaving here until we find some other act of true love to save you. Do you happen to have any ideas?
I don't even know what love is.
That's okay. I do. Love is putting someone else's needs before yours. Like, you know, how Kristoff brought you back here to Hans and left you forever.
Kristoff loves me?
Wow, you really don't know anything about love, do you?
Olaf, you're melting.
Some people are worth melting for.
All right, so how did Olaf describe true love? He said it this way, that love is when you put someone else's needs before your own. And that's exactly right. That's what the gospel teaches us. You know, that true love is not infatuation. We never find that in the gospel at all. In fact, true love is your willingness to put someone else's needs before your own. In other words, true love is when you're willing to sacrifice your own needs for the needs of someone else. In fact, how did Jesus say it? He said it like this. In John chapter 15, he said, "For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends." And then, how did St. Paul say it? He said it like this, 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, if you're married, this was probably read at your marriage ceremony, at your wedding. It says this, "Love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." And let's read this last line together. "Love never fails." That's right. That's the way Paul had to say it. And you know, in the movie, Anna demonstrates this true love in a most profound way. You know, she's barely alive when one of her suitors, who believes he's going to be saving her, gets almost to her in order to give her that one act of true love, which, of course, in the Disney movie was to be a kiss to save her. But something powerful happens. And in fact, I want you to pay close attention to what Anna decides right here. Check this out.
Anna!
So what was the decision that Anna made? To sacrifice her life for the life of her sister. Now, hold with me for a second. What had Elsa done to deserve that? to deserve her sister sacrificing her life like that for her? Nothing. The answer's nothing. She had been pushing her away her entire life, keeping her at arm's length, having nothing to do with her, thinking that she was loving her and in fact was continuing to push her away. She had done nothing. Elsa had done nothing to deserve what Anna did in order to save her life. But when you think about it, that sounds kind of familiar to us. I mean, after all, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. We had done nothing to deserve his love. We have done nothing to deserve his sacrifice. We've done nothing to deserve heaven. And yet, look what he did for us. He came so that we may have life and have that life abundant. In fact, I love the way Paul said it to the church at Rome. Check this out. One of my favorite scriptures right here from Romans 5 says, when we were utterly helpless, listen to that again. That is, when you and I were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for someone who's especially good. But what did God do? But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when? Let's read it. While we were still sinners. That's right. We had done nothing. Elsa had done nothing to earn Anna's love, and yet she was willing to sacrifice her own life. Let me tell you, she's really kind of like a Christ-like figure in this particular movie, because right there, she had never give up on Elsa. She pursued Elsa in love, even though Elsa was lashing out at her and hurting her. She was kind of like, as Jesus is described, the great shepherd of the sheep who were willing to leave the 99 in order to go and save the one who was lost. That is an incredible, incredible act of selfless love. It was a love that was unearned and undeserved. That is, it brings me now to this particular point that I want you to know, the last point of this message. And I think the greatest point in the entire film is this, that God's love can melt your frozen heart. I believe that, folks. I believe it with every fiber of my being. That God's love can melt your frozen heart. Absolutely. You know, when Anna chooses to love Elsa sacrificially and gives her life for her, let me tell you, something changed that changed their relationship forever. Here's the last clip.
Yourself for me? I love you.
An act of true love will thaw a frozen heart.
Love will thaw. Love. Of course. Elsa? Love.
See, folks, it was the act of sacrificial love that raised Anna to new life, just like Jesus. The act of sacrificial love raised him to life as well. In fact, John the disciple wrote in his last letter, it was in the New Testament toward the end, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 18, says this, there is no fear in love, but let's now read, but perfect love drives out fear. What does perfect love do? It drives out fear. That's right. And Anna and Elsa are great illustrations of perfect love driving out fear. You know, when Anna explains that it was love and not a kiss that unfroze her, Elsa had a moment of clarity right then. She began to get it. She got it. She recognized that, hey, this is all about what true love is about. She had been trying to live her entire life trying to earn love from others. That's what she'd been trying to do, to earn it. When she finally realized that true love is unearned and undeserved and unconditional. And let me tell you, when she got that, it melted her frozen heart. In other words, she was redeemed at that moment. And folks, that's your story too. That's just the way God works. He thaws and melts our frozen heart. When we accept His love, when we accept His grace, He melts our frozen heart. In fact, look what Jesus said in John 13, the gospel. A new command I give you. What's that new command? Three words. Love one another. Yep. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. And don't forget, I want to go all the way back to the beginning right now, to the scripture we started with. What did God tell Ezekiel to say to the people of Israel? I'll give you a what? A new heart. I'll put a what in you? A new spirit. And look at that. I'll take out your frozen heart. Your frozen heart. Your stony, stubborn heart. And give you a tender, responsive heart. Folks, that's what God does. He specializes in heart surgery. You hear me? That's what God does. He will thaw your frozen heart. Folks, if you're lost in life and been trying to earn love from everybody around you and you are just tired and worn out and exhausted, let me tell you, there is one who loves you unconditionally. With all your good and all your bad and all your ugly, He still loves you. Praise God for that. He loves us just the way we are. And He loves us so much that He wants to move us from where we are into a real strong relationship with Him. Look, folks, today is a good day to get your heart melted. Let Him in. Invite Jesus in. And He will change your life. That's a promise. That's God's word for us today. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you so much, God. You are good to us. You are good all the time. Lord, we thank you for loving us even when we're unlovable. You love us in spite of what we bring to the table. You are that good, and we are truly grateful. Lord, come in and help us to live our life in a way that models what true love is, that models this sacrificial, unconditional love to the people around us. Lord, may we live out that life, a life that becomes the gospel, so that those around us may see you reflected in us. And finally, Lord, for those of us who are struggling with a frozen heart, I pray that this may be the day that hearts are thawed and your love is celebrated on this wonderful Mom's Day. Lord, come and unfreeze our frozen heart. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.